Hi, I'm Mandy.
And I'm Ben.
And this is Behind the Visa Window with ex-visa officers,
where we give the insider's perspective on the U.S. visa interview process.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our podcast, Behind the Visa Window with ex-visa officers. I'm your host, Mandy Fierbacher, and I'm here with my co-host, Ben Arterburn. We, as you know, are former visa officers with the U.S. Department of State, and between the two of us, we've worked in a number of different countries and made many decisions on visa interviews and visa applications. So we have an exciting episode for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the current events that have been happening with the U.S. Department of State and their announcements. But also really go a little bit more, give a deep dive on what we call third country national appointments, which basically is just, common speak for if you ever decide to apply outside of your home country, if you're applying, you know, in Canada or in Mexico because you're already in the United States and your visa expired, or you just choose to apply in a country that's close to where you're from. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We did touch on it a little bit ago in one of our episodes, but we've gotten so many questions from all of you. I think given the pandemic, there's just been so much going on that this is a real need for people because so many of you are applying outside of your home countries. So let's talk a little bit about State Department announcements. Ben, what have you heard?
Well, there is the lifting of the travel ban, the travel restrictions that have been in place since near the beginning of the pandemic in 2020. The ban has been on China, Iran, the entire Schengen area, the UK, Ireland, Brazil, South Africa, and India, which basically prevented anybody from traveling directly from those countries to the United States without going to a third country that didn't have a ban and staying there for at least 14 days before then traveling on to the United States. So what's been announced is that on November 8th, travelers from those countries who have been in those countries, if they are fully vaccinated with not only the US vaccines, but also with AstraZeneca and also some of the Chinese vaccines have been approved. If you're fully vaccinated, you're going to be able to travel directly from that country to the US without having to go to that third country in the interim for 14 days. So this is big news, but it's not necessarily big news for everyone. It's going to definitely have a big effect on European travel to the US. And anyone that it comes from a visa waiver country, if you're in France or Germany, now you never needed a visa to go to the US for tourism anyway. So you'll be able to go directly to the US without going to a third country for 14 days if you're coming to the US for the purposes of tourism or business, anything that you could qualify for with ESTA. For other countries like Brazil and China and India, if you already have a visa, a valid visa, a valid tourism visa, a valid work visa, study visa, you'll be able to come to the United States without having to go to a third country for the interim. You'll be able to travel directly. This obviously doesn't apply to students who have already been exempted from that ban, but also, you know, the work visas and anyone else. But if you don't have a visa yet, this is where this lifting of the restrictions is not necessarily the most helpful for you, because they're lifting this restriction on travel from these countries, but that does not mean that they're going to open up all their visa appointments immediately and start issuing all the visa classes available and have visa appointment times that anybody can go in and make an appointment for. Even in countries where there is no restriction on travel, for instance, Colombia, they still aren't issuing B visas there routinely outside of national interest exemption situations. So while it does mean that things are moving in the right direction, it doesn't mean things are completely open yet.
Thanks so much, Ben. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I think people really oftentimes get that confused because they think that, oh, if the U.S. is lifting the travel ban, that must mean that, you know, there's going to be lots of visa appointments available, but those are completely independent of each other. And it's important to point that out for our listeners. We also had a really important announcement that actually happened a couple last month. We're still in October. Okay, so last month for FM and J academic visas. And Now that that announcement has happened, I feel like there is also some confusion about what this announcement pertains to. So basically, what the State Department said was that through the end of the year, so through 2021, they're going to expand the category of FM and J visa applicants whose applications can be applied for without an in-person interview. So this means if you're someone who's applying for an F or an M or a J visa, and you have had any sort of other visa approved before, you may not need to have a visa appointment, an in-person interview. So this is also important for people to realize that if you've never been issued any visa at all before, and you are a first-time applicant for a student visa, then you are still going to need that in-person interview. So this is important to realize. So if you've ever been refused a visa or you've just never applied at all, you still have to do that interview. Also keep in mind that even though they say specifically it's going to go through the end of 2021, there's a possibility that that might get extended. I know from talking to people at the State Department that there could definitely be that chance because they're really short staffed right now trying to make more visa appointments available. So we'll have to be on the lookout for further announcements about this. And also keep in mind that even though this is a blanket announcement, that they do say that consular officers may, if they so choose. So what this means is that they can actually still choose to interview for any number of reasons at all. They could decide that, you know, you're the one case that they're going to pluck out of the bunch and you have to do the in-person interview. So just make sure right. you're looking at the instructions.
I can imagine the situations where they would do that. I mean, because this is just adding FMJs who have a previous visa issuance where the most recent interaction with the consulate, with the immigration authorities was an issuance, can then just submit their application via Dropbox. Now, let's say that somebody had a B1, B2 for 10 years that was issued when they were 8 years old. And now they're coming in and now they're wanting to apply for a student visa to go to the university in the US. Well, it's been 10 years and they were a child when that was first issued, right? So they might look at that and be like, that doesn't really give me the confidence that this regulation is supposed to inspire, right? But let's say that you've had a tourist visa your entire life and your most recent one was issued when you were 19 years old and now you're 23 and you're applying for a master's program. It means that you'll be able to just submit your application via the Dropbox because, you've had a tourist visa from age 19 to 24, you've been an adult, you've been able to travel to the US at any time freely without a problem. So why not just go ahead and approve this student visa? I'm glad that they've got this in there. It really will help prevent inexperienced or perhaps overly enthusiastic visa officers from refusing people who've had valid B visas just because they don't understand what their study plans are, which sometimes does happen to a lot of our clients.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And with everything like this, even though it's, you know, one announcement going out to the whole world, I think Ben really showcases how much nuance there is from how individual consular officers in consular sections around the world, how they make these decisions about who to waive these interviews for and who might need a second look and still have to go in for an interview. So if you have questions about that, you can always email us at hello@argovisa.com if there's anything that we can do to help. So let's move on to the main topic of today's episode, which is applying outside of your home country.
Which is still going to be a big topic, I feel, for the near term, because even though they've lifted the ban on these countries, so many Indian students, Iranians have to go and apply outside their own country no matter what. But many students have been going outside of their country to apply because there's no visa appointments in their own home countries. But even with the lifting of this ban, there's still not going to be all the visa appointments that people need. And people are still going to be in a hurry and they're still going to look around and think, I need to find a visa appointment before my program start date. And there's one available in country X, even though I'm from country Y. And so I'm going to go. But they're running a little bit of a risk, aren't they, Mandy?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what the pandemic has done for folks who are used to, you know, freely traveling home, you know, for whatever occasion or some important event, all of a sudden, and this is what I've been telling lots of our clients and potential clients, is to try not to travel outside of the US right now when you're on an expired visa, because you might get stuck. Now, some people make these plans. There's no way they can avoid going home. Maybe they have a sick relative or something like that, so they have to deal with this. And then they can't find an open visa appointment. So just like Ben said, they'll end up going to a country that they have never even been to before. They're going to fly all the way to Ecuador, or they're going to fly all the way to, I don't know, what are some countries that you've heard of people doing these appointments in, Ben?
Dominican Republic, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Poland. Russians are going to Poland and Kazakhstan. Chinese people were going to Cambodia and Ecuador, and even, you know, to Mexico. Iranians have been applying outside of the normal place where they would apply, which would be Dubai, Yerevan, or Turkey. So they're going to places like Pakistan. Just a whole lot of searching around, trying to find that open visa appointment.
Yeah, absolutely. And the problem with applying outside of your home country is it adds a level of complexity to your case, because you are basically going to a country that is not used to seeing visa applicants from your home country. And it will definitely give the consular officers a lot of questions that they can't answer in their mind, which means that they will have less confidence to approve your visa. So it will actually make your case tougher to approve.
That's right. Now, if you've got a perfectly clear immigration record up until now, and you've got this program and you really don't want to delay because you can't get your visa appointment on time, you want to find that third country to go to, okay, you're adding a layer of complexity, but it's only one layer because you don't have any other red flags in your history. If you've got some other red flags, let's say that you had your visa revoked, right? Or that you had your visa refused in your home country a few years ago, and now you show up as a third country national, you're going to have a greatly reduced chance of getting your visa, because then you've got more than one complexity. You're a third country national and you've got a prior refusal, right? And you've got, you know, something else on your record that's raising these red flags for the visa officer. That's where they're going to look. Let's say that you're a Chinese student applying in Ecuador, but your visa was refused in China last year. Ecuador, the visa officers in Ecuador are going to look at that and say, well, you're Chinese, and my colleagues in the State Department over in China decided not to give you a visa, and I'm in Ecuador. I don't know anything about China. Why am I going to go against my colleagues who are in China and issue your visa? I have to trust them. They're the ones that speak Chinese, that know China. I'm going to rely on their decision and refuse your visa again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of times officers who are unfamiliar with, you know, country Y, they're in country X, and, you know, the person is from country Y, they might get even overzealous and kind of start digging into the case and find reasons to refuse it. And you really don't want that, because it could potentially leave a blemish on your visa record, and it will be difficult to resolve anywhere after that. And so there are all sorts of things that can happen at these third country national interviews. That's what we call them in the State Department when you're applying outside of your home country. And so if this is you, you definitely want to be extra prepared, and maybe even do a strategy session with one of our ex-visa officers to see if that really is a good idea. If there's a possible way that you can go without this type of interview, if you can just apply in your home country, you know, this is something that we would discuss. What are some options that you have? You know, it's definitely not something that we would say, hey, just go wing it and see if it'll all be okay, because chances are it won't. I have seen some real horror stories with these applying outside of your home country cases, even when I was a visa officer. And you just want to avoid that, especially in the middle of the pandemic, where you could get stuck overseas outside of the United States and outside of your home country. And this has actually happened to some of our clients, and we don't want that to happen to you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There's a term also that they have in the State Department called visa shopping. And so you can apply as a third country national outside of your home country. It's perfectly allowed. And during the pandemic, I'm 100% certain that experienced consular officers in posts where they're doing a number of interviews, and they've seen these third country nationals come in because they can't get appointments in their home country, they know, okay, we're in unprecedented times, to, you know, use, to overuse that phrase. And so the people are doing this not because they're shopping around for a visa, but because it's the only way they can get a visa entry. But let's say that you go, you're from China and you go to Ecuador and you get refused. And then you think, well, maybe I'll get issued in Mexico. And then you go to Mexico and then you get refused again. Even if it really was because in Ecuador, after you've been refused once, they won't give you a second visa appointment. And so you had to choose a new country. You're not purely visa shopping. You're actually just following the open appointments. They're going to think that that is visa shopping. And even when you finally are able to get back to China and apply in China, your home country, it's going to look bad. It's going to look like you went all around the world trying to just sneak past a visa officer who might not have known about your situation. I talked to people and people astoundingly aren't aware that, you know, all of this information is in computers and shared all around the world. You know, like your visa record, when you apply in Ecuador, whatever you did in China the last time you applied, it shows up there too, right? So like this is all right present in front of the visa officer whenever you go in for your visa interview. So if you're going to apply as a third country national, because it's inevitable, Mandy, do you have any tips for our listeners?
Yeah, I guess, first of all, it shouldn't be your first option, especially if you've had any sort of visa issues, as we've mentioned. See what other options there are, just because there's a lot of unpredictable things that could happen if you go into that interview. And if there is no way around it, it is the only place where you can get a visa appointment and you have to go, you know, home, or you have to go overseas for some reason and you're on an expired visa, prepare with the experts. You know, our team of ex-visa officers, we have a lot of experience all over the world with third country national appointments. We used to do them when we were visa officers on the line. We can give you a strategy to understand how the visa officer will perceive your case, which will give you, you know, the highest chance of approval and going through that process. Because there's a lot of things that we used to see on the line and we can share those insights with you. But I think you, as someone who's never done this before, of course you wouldn't know this. You need somebody experienced to guide you through. And all of our ex-visa officers have made decisions on tens of thousands of visa applications. So we really, this is our niche area of expertise. This is what we know best. And I don't know, do you have any additional tips, Ben?
I do. So yeah, that one is something we would tell anybody that has any complication, right? In this case, we're talking about third country nationals, but it could be a prior refusal. It could be anything on, you know, any aberration on your record that's going to need some explaining. You want to be ready to go in there because you only get a first chance to make that first impression, right? To give your information, your highlights to the visa officer and get them in the front of your head. But some more general stuff that you can use is, if you are going to apply as a third country national, first try to find a location, a consulate or embassy, where you know many people from your home country already go to apply for their visa, right? You want to go somewhere where they're going to know who you are, know generally where you're coming from, and you're not a big surprise, right? So Russians, right now during the pandemic, many of them are going to Kazakhstan and Poland to apply for their visa. This means that the visa officers that are in the embassy in Astana or the consulate in Almaty or in Warsaw, they know that, okay, Russians come here. There's a reason they come here. We've interviewed a few of them. We kind of have a grasp on what their situation is. And we've issued some of them. We've refused some. So they feel more confident, right? You're going to a place where the officer is going to feel confident seeing you. If you're a Russian though, and you find an open visa appointment in Kenya, and you fly to Kenya, and in Kenya, they've never seen a Russian visa applicant. Maybe they saw one 2 years ago, right? They don't know what's going on. They don't know why you're there. They've never spoken to a Russian. They don't know anything about Russia. Your chances are much lower. So first, go to a country where they have seen people from your country applying before, right? The language is the same in the case of Russia and Kazakhstan, or they're adjacent to each other so that there's a lot of people that are going there. That's one. Two, it's going to be better for you if you go to a larger embassy or consulate. If you go to a large one, there's more officers there. That means they have more experience. They interview more applicants. They are not so alarmed by seeing things that they've never seen before. mostly because they've seen a lot of things before. If you go somewhere though, that's a sleepy small consulate, let's say, oh, I found a visa interview in, let's name a very, very small consulate. I don't know. In Trinidad, does Trinidad have a post there? Okay. In Trinidad, let's say that you're like, oh, I found a visa appointment in Trinidad. I can fly to Trinidad. It's going to be very small. There may only be two, maybe three people that are doing visa interviews there. There's not a guarantee that they've got that much experience. They might be first tour officers, their manager, you know, it might be their first time managing, and they're going to be very excitable and probably, you know, go a little bit overboard when they see something that they've never seen before, right? But if you show up, let's say, in a larger place, like, I don't know, Mexico City, right? Or if you show up in Paris, right? Paris sees, I think maybe half their applicants every day might be third country nationals, because French citizens don't need a B1, B2 visa to go to the US for tourism. So they're processing lots of people from all around the world. If you apply there, they're not going to be surprised to see you there as a third country national. So go somewhere where they've seen people like you before, and go somewhere that's big so that you're going and you're gonna encounter an experienced visa officer.
I think those are such good and valuable tips, Ben. And one other thing that Ben has alluded to before is if you are someone who has already had one of these appointments overseas and you were refused, don't go to another, a different country, because that could be perceived as visa shopping. The best thing to do at that point is honestly to talk to an expert to figure out what your next steps are, because that's a pretty serious issue to be refused and have that on your visa record. And we can definitely help you brainstorm and figure out how to get past that. But I would not say to go in and just try it again. I think for some of these clients that we've been encountering, Margo, you know, you're already overseas, you're sleep deprived, you're probably jet lagged, and you're just like, okay, I'm going to fly to my next place that has an open visa appointment. Don't expect a different outcome when you haven't prepared the first time. So this is not something to take a risk with. Your visa record is forever. The next visa officer will have access to every single time you've been interviewed at an embassy or a consulate. So you just want to make sure that you keep it relatively simple. And so just make sure that you take it seriously. And I always tell clients and potential clients of Argo that take a proactive approach to, you know, your visa journey. You are the only person who is watching out for yourself. You know, you can talk to immigration attorneys, you know, we will help you understand your situation, but you really have to take that first step to be proactive, to get ahead of problems instead of just taking gambles and not knowing what's going to happen, but just trying it anyways. We have seen a lot of people have, you know, bad results with that. So just make sure that you are watching out for yourself and doing what you need to do to get ahead of any problems that could come up.
Yes, absolutely. If you've got any of these problems yourself, you've applied outside of your country as a third country national, or you're thinking about it, write us at hello@argovisa.com. We can help you. You know, if you've got an emergency, we can help you as fast as we possibly can. If not, you know, we can answer your question here on the air. But definitely don't roll the dice. Don't gamble on your future, on your plans, by just doing this without actually having gotten the advice you need from an expert. You know, I tell a lot of people, you know, the price of applying for multiple visas over and over and having to travel to that visa appointment, you know, it can become quite costly. You know, make sure you get it right the first time. Save yourself the headache, save yourself the trouble and the anxiety. You know, consult with the experts, by whom I mean us, ex-visa officers who actually did tens of thousands of visa interviews, just like the one you're about to go experience. Consult with us. You can count on the information that we're going to give you is going to be the most authoritative, the most accurate, and you can trust it 100%.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. And I hope this information was helpful to you today. And again, if you have questions that you want us addressed on air, send us an email at hello@argovisa.com. And we look forward to seeing you guys in a couple of weeks. Thanks so much.
Talk to you next time.